tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Sit out.
Constraints. Ideas.
People. Technology.
F. Limited. Thinking.
Defining.
Tomorrow.
Sit out.
Constraints.
Yonder Podcast.
Hello there, welcome to the Yonder Podcast with myself, Peter Jones.
Sorry, Pete. This time, Y-Suite, the Young Yon members, take over the Yon Podcast. Welcome to the first episode. I'm Athina Koligioni, and today I speak with Sergio Pereira, European Operational Director from Rillium Wired Communications. We will get to know more about his journey in the data center industry, and hope this can help people understand how to enter in this industry.
The Yonder Podcast.
Hi, Sergio. Welcome to the Yon Podcast, and more specifically, where Y-Suite take over the Yon Podcast.
Thanks very much, Athina. It's nice to be here, and I look forward to the conversation.
Nice to have you in the Y-Suite takeover. How are you? How is now with the pandemic? How was COVID affected your working life?
I'm well, luckily, and thank goodness no one in my immediate family has been affected. But of course, COVID-19 has been a big factor in my extended family, of which some are in South Africa in quite severe lockdowns. And obviously, my sister lives in London too, and I know things in London were quite serious as well. So, you know, we just manage it day by day.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, when you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was much younger, before becoming a teenager, I actually wanted to become a sportsman. I was very involved in quite a few different sports, but the sport that I enjoyed the most, or probably was the most successful at, was cricket. I played it up into a provincial level and did pretty well doing that. But when I got a bit older, I started to get more and more into the technical and engineering side of music. I think slightly due to the influence of my father, he had a lot of amps and speakers and all these kind of things. And I really, really enjoyed wiring them and putting them together and sort of just seeing what I could do with the technical side of music. So those are two factors that drove me for quite a long time in my life.
So what were your favorite subjects in school then?
In school, I was a big fan of English literature. I enjoyed English a lot. I also was quite intrigued with history and obviously looking into the past and obviously seeing how we had evolved as humans, and also art. I had quite a deep interest in art, and those are things that obviously when I travel that I try to take some knowledge of from the places that I visit.
And after art and music, how you end up to data center industry? What drew you to the data center industry?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, when I started getting into my teens, I had a deep passion for the technical side of music, and I ended up studying an audio engineering degree in London at the School of Audio Engineering. And at the same time, obviously, as we all do, we have bills to pay, and I needed to find a job to obviously put myself through university. At the same time, three of my best friends, who are currently my business partners, were working in the ICT industry as cable pullers and installers. And they basically said, do I want to come and work with them and obviously earn money while I was at university? And that's how I got into the data industry initially.
Okay, and what was your first job?
My first job was at a data center in Basingstoke for the end client, to my memory, was JPMC. And as mentioned, my friends had been doing data for about 3 to 6 months before I joined them. And they had a spot on the team, and they basically got me what we say, installing and pulling cables, really at the bottom of the food chain, really. And it was a big advantage because over the years, we learned every aspect of what we do from a hands-on experience, which obviously when you get a bit more senior in your position, allows you to fault find and understand problems a lot quicker.
The Yonder Podcast.
At Yonder, we believe in a tomorrow without constraints. What advice will you give to yourself in 10 years to overcome the constraints you faced in your career so far?
I think one thing that I've definitely learned as I've got older is that it's really, really important in life to be open-minded, diverse, and also to obviously give 100% in everything you do, because, you know, you might shoot for the stars or the moon, as they say, and end up amongst the stars. So, you know, if you're doing something and you do it properly and you do it with focus, you'll probably learn something from it. So, as mentioned, I didn't get into the data industry because I wanted to, but due to the fact that I worked hard, and I believe you should always work with people and not against them, through that experience, it allowed me to find a new path in life, and one that I've really, really enjoyed since changing focus, per se.
And what would you say to yourself 10 years back when you were younger?
I would say definitely, you know, learn and grow, find the right mentors in life. Always smile. I'm a big believer in positive energy. I think that you can overcome almost anything with a positive mindset and a good work ethic. I think if you have a positive mind and you're willing to work harder and longer than other people, you inevitably will become successful. I do believe that consistency over a long period of time always wins the race. It doesn't matter how talented you are or what your skills are in the beginning, if you don't use them for a long time and you know, you don't adapt to your environment, the people with a stronger work ethic will probably, you know, outlast you.
The Yonder Podcast.
So before you enter to the industry and thinking that this industry has a lot of accidents and incidents and health and safety, one like a big topic. So before you enter to the industry, what did you think about health and safety and how you see health and safety now?
If I'm honest with you, before I got into the industry, I didn't even know what health and safety was. but obviously when I did get into the industry, and as I mentioned, I started at the bottom with three of my best friends, the industry was very, very different in terms of health and safety. We used to obviously work with PPE, et cetera, but there wasn't as much of a focus and as much of a professional approach to it, which in all fairness probably put us at danger quite a few times. But you're young and you're ignorant and all you think about is making money at the end of the day, but you don't think that potentially you might not go home at the end of the day. So as I've got older, and obviously the industry has changed quite a lot, health and safety is at the forefront of everything. And I think that's a good thing. No one goes to work to get hurt. Everybody goes to work to make money, ideally to feed their families or pave a road for themselves. But if you're hurt or even worse, if you die, that's all for nothing.
Yes. I agree. I didn't know about health and safety in this industry before I actually joined this industry. And even worse, I would say, I didn't know anything about mental health. How you see mental health? How is mental health perceived in this industry?
It's another one that I think over time, you know, humans have an amazing ability to evolve and adapt. And I think if you went 10 years ago, I mean, especially amongst men, to speak about mental health was almost a version of showing weakness. You know, with men, there's always ego involved and it's a macho mentality. But the reality of the fact is that, you know, the mind is probably the most important part of our being. And if you're struggling internally with your thought processes or depression or whatever else might come with that, it's going to affect you in your day-to-day life. I think obviously education and being open-minded and allowing people to speak about these kind of problems allows us to take data and information back and adjust the way we approach it, develop techniques to deal with it. And I think I mentioned earlier that I'm a big believer in a positive mentality. You know, some people have had factors in their life that affect them negatively, and I think it's important that they are allowed to express themselves in a way that, you know, that is open and not frowned upon.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to do some uncomfortable discussions about mental health and talk about it loudly. So in October, like in a month time, it's the Mental Health Week. So what is your company doing to help the mental well-being of its employees?
It's a good question. I think more than anything, we try to treat the people who work with us like family. I think that obviously when you go through tough times in your life, the one thing that you generally fall back on is your family. Sometimes your family actually might be your friends. In my case, it's very much the situation. I'm very close to my family, but my three best friends are my family too. And what we try to do is anyone who we bring in through our company, first and foremost, we try to treat them with respect, the same kind of respect we'd want to be treated with. We try to exceed their expectations in the support we give them. I'm a big believer in taking holidays and people getting the opportunity to rest. I do believe that overworking obviously affects mental health. Overall, I think it's just it's a mentality towards the people that work for you, letting them know that they can speak to you openly and obviously trying your best to understand them as individuals and support them when and where you're needed.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I cannot avoid asking you questions about environment. Most of the times when we talk about health and safety, always comes the other question that health and safety and environment. And we all know the big issues that we have and we're facing with the climate. And we hear from the scientists that it's getting worse and worse. So how do you think that the industry, the data center industry specifically, affects the environment?
If I'm honest, obviously at the moment it affects it negatively, but it's like with anything in life. I think the more you take data and the more you open your mind to the problems that are in front of you, the more you find solutions. I do believe that the data industry, luckily, is an industry that is expanding very, very quickly. It's an industry that needs to adapt to sustainability very, very quickly. But I do believe that, you know, the five biggest companies in the world are tech companies, and they have a moral situation where they need to look after the rest of the people on the planet. So I do believe that the data centers will become more economically friendly. I see it every day where they're trying to find more sustainable solutions to power, to cooling, to pretty much everything. And I think especially here in the Netherlands where I live, I actually think they're at the forefront of these technologies. And the more they build, the more they will learn, and the more that we will need to become sustainable. The question is, are we doing it quick enough? That I think needs to be answered by all involved.
Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of companies, big companies, that they own data centers talking about new targets for net zero carbon and setting up new goals that they are ambitious, really ambitious. And, you know, as a young person, I will tell you that I want to change the world. But firstly, I want to ask you, what are your company's sustainability goals and how you're going to change this industry or make the difference?
I think you need to do the small things right. I think, you know, these big companies have got sustainability plans, which they need to have in place, as I've mentioned. And I think when you work with these companies, you need to do everything you can to respect the rules and the strategies they've put in place. Small example is we deal a lot with fiber optic cables. Fiber optic waste is regarded as hazardous. And it's easy when you're under pressure and time restraints just to not take that into account and to throw those fiber particles into a bin, which is not for that use. Obviously, if you take into account that you need a hazardous waste bin and that bin then needs to be disposed of correctly, that's a small step in the right direction. Living in Holland, I've really tried on a personal level to use my bicycle as much as possible to and from work. We obviously recommend that our guys carpool to and from the sites that they're working on. So like I say, it's hard to go out there and make massive changes. But if every day you do the small things right, hopefully, you know, over time those compound and you at least have a positive impact on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere today that being perfectly zero waste, being perfectly vegan, being perfectly sustainable, because small conscious changes are better than none at all. And that exactly you're saying. And I totally agree with that statement.
I think you hit it on the head there. You know, it's like with anything in life. I'm a big believer, you know, and take it step by step and the small things make a difference.
Yes, sure. And now I will give you 10 seconds, no more. And I want to hear the first five words that come to your mind when you hear the word sustainability?
I think about my children. I just think, a clean environment for my children's future. I don't know if that's five words, but that's the first thing I think about. It's not about me. It's about my children.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's nice to hear that. We talked about this industry, about the health and safety. We discussed about environment, about the mental health. The question now comes to diversity and inclusion. I have read a lot of articles about that. How do you think we can make the data center industry more diverse and include?
I think because it's an industry that's expanding so fast, I think that obviously we need to go back to underprivileged areas, underprivileged children, make sure that they are getting first and foremost the education that every human being deserves, and then allowing them a pathway into the industry, whether that's through apprenticeships or, you know, just educating them on the technical aspects of the data industry. But I think that's the best way to do it. Obviously, it can't be an industry that's expanding so quickly that is limited to a few who are highly educated. I think you've got to go back down to grassroots and try to get people educated and pushed in that direction.
Do you think that this could be the next big thing within the data center industry, or do you have something else in your mind?
At the moment, it's hard to say, obviously. The industry's changed a lot from when I started. When I first started in the data industry, it was all with the banks. All the data centers we worked in were for banks because they were the only ones really holding people's data at the time. Now you have the emergence of, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Apple, and who knows what's next? Obviously, artificial intelligence, smart homes, all of these things are on the cusp and basically inevitable, but it's hard to say in what direction it will go. I definitely think it will continue to grow because people seem they seem obsessed with data.
Thinking these movies that we have seen, fiction movies about how will be the world in 2050, with smart cars and smart cities, cars flying in the cities. How do you think the landscape of data usage will change?
I think it needs to get quicker. Obviously, unfortunately, the more we require it, the quicker we will want it. And obviously, the more we start putting it in other places other than our computer, our homes, our cars, our flying cars, as you say, I think the necessity for building these facilities will become more and more. I just hope that we don't become a species that is over-digitalized. You know, I was born in South Africa, and I'm a big fan of outdoor life, and I think it's important that we still stay in touch with nature and those kind of environments, even though we're evolving constantly as a species.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that we'll ever have data centers in space?
I think that's down to Elon Musk at the moment, if I'm honest. He'll be the first one to get us out there. So I think if he's successful with getting us to Mars and most importantly getting us back, then who's to say there won't be data centers in space? You know, if we become a species that starts inhabiting other planets, it would become a necessity. But I think we're quite a far way off of that.
Mm-hmm. So I pass through this decade where we had the really small mobile phones, like pocket size mobile phones. And now we have like really big mobile phones, like probably twice or three times bigger than the one I had when I was younger. What about the data centers? Do you think that they will get smaller or bigger?
I think inevitably they will get smaller. At the moment, there's obviously a big spike in building, and hyperscale data centers are at the forefront of what we do. But obviously, as technology evolves and that comes to fruition, I think they will start to get smaller. Obviously, these buildings take up a massive landmass, and overpopulation is something the world's currently dealing with too. So you can't go taking up city size pieces of landable data centers just so people can sit on Facebook all day long. I think the natural thing would be to obviously evolve the technology, try to start to downsize and save space for nature, for homes, for those kind of things. But as I say, at the moment, hyperscale data centers are what we're building, and there is a necessity for that at the moment.
So, how you see the future of the data center industry? You can make a guess, or you can tell me how would you like to see this industry in the future. More specifically, will the data centers ever be completely sustainable? For example, using only renewable energy. And do you think that actually we're going to have data centers located under the sea? Because at the sea, I think they already exist.
Yeah, that's true. I actually read an article about 6 months ago about a concept that Microsoft were looking at it, placing a cube in the sea. And it seemed very, very interesting. And obviously, that does, save on land mass, as I mentioned, which is an issue at the moment. In terms of 100% sustainable, I'm a big believer in humans. I believe that when we need to find an answer, we generally do. We don't always find it when we immediately start looking for it, but through time, and as I mentioned 100 times before, research and data, we find ways. So, I do believe that eventually, over time, we will get data centers that are 100% sustainable. How far away we are from that at the moment, it's hard to say. But as we mentioned, if people are all looking at it and looking in the same direction, we can find ways and means to make it happen.
The Yonder Podcast.
Thank you very much, Sergio. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with a young person from the data center industry.
I did. It was very, very nice. And thank you very much to Yonder for having me. And good luck to all you're looking to achieve. I mean, they're very, very exciting times ahead of the Yonder team. And I wish you guys all the best of luck with whatever you go out to try to achieve.
Tomorrow.
Without
constraints. Ideas.
People. Technology.
Limited
thinking, defining
tomorrow.
Wow.
The Yonder Podcast.